The IMG Roadmap is the only podcast dedicated to coaching international medical graduates and success blueprints for this unique pathway. I am Dr. Nina Loom, your host, a previous IMG turned hospital medicine physician, healthcare administrator, speaker, and coach. I empower, encourage, and equip you with actionable steps that you can take towards the residency position of your dreams. Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the IMG Roadmap podcast. Today's guest is a phenomenal author, emergency medicine physician, boss, entrepreneur, business lady, and it's none other than my co-author and co-producer of the book, Still MD. As you all know, we've been promoting this through all social media platforms since the month of December. And this book will be launching January 24th, right here on your couch or in your car, wherever you listen to me. You can expect to hear more about the launch on that day. So without further ado, let's welcome Dr. Kimberly Brown to the podcast. Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hey, Dr. Nina, thank you so much.
We are thankful for you. I mean, I've been friends with you now for the last maybe 6 to 8 months, and it's been just an amazing journey getting to know you and just enjoying your company as both a co-author and as an IMG that's willing to inspire other people. So we're going to ask you some heated questions based on what the audience wants to know. Can you tell us a little bit Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. So again, you gave me such a great introduction. My name is Dr. Kimberly Brown. I'm a newly board certified emergency physician. I'm also a U.S. IMG. So I was born and raised in the state of Wisconsin. Milwaukee, Wisconsin is my hometown. I went to undergrad at Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee, knowing the whole time that I wanted to become a physician, but I did not do well on my MCAT. So what I decided to do is pursue a degree in public health. And I did that at the University of Florida. And so I graduated in 2010 with my master's of public health with a concentration in public health management and policy. And it was while I was in my graduate program that I was accepted to Ross University School of Medicine. And that's when Ross was in Dominica, but now it is currently in Barbados. So that's basically who I am. I also ended up going to residency at the University of Tennessee Health Science Center in Memphis, Tennessee. I matched to my number one choice program, and that was in 2015, and I graduated. Now I can't believe it's about to be, well, it's technically 2 years now, so in 2018. So I am second year attending. So it's been a busy couple of years for me, for sure.
Yeah, sounds like an amazing year. Congratulations on becoming board certified, and even bigger congrats on all the work that you've done thus far. So can you tell us a little bit more about emergency medicine? Maybe walk us through the structure of EM residency and why you chose that particular specialty.
Sure. So I decided to go into emergency medicine while I was doing my public health program at the University of Florida. I had never heard of EM before I took a trip overseas as a pre-medical student / public health student. And they put me in accident and casualty in Quito, Ecuador. And I was supposed to be focusing on maternal and child health. And so because I was focused on becoming an OBGYN, you know, Milwaukee has a very high teen pregnancy rate. So I was trying to give back to my hometown by becoming an OBGYN and helping other teens, moms know, you know, more about their bodies. But this accident and casualty experience happened to me, which is basically Ecuador's equivalent of an emergency department. So I showed up, it was a Monday, and there are people everywhere. There are kids, there are adults, there's old people. And so it was myself, several other pre-med students and actually medical students. It was a resident in the Ecuadorian medical system there, and there was an attending. And for the whole morning, we just saw patients, whoever came through the door, we treated them and we basically treated them or admitted them to the hospital. But I had so much fun trying to guess what was going to come through the doors next. Was it going to be a woman? Was it going to be a kid? Was it, what kind of complaint were they going to have? And that was also the first time I was able, as a pre-med student, to actually work hands-on with patients. I was never allowed to do anything really other than listen to heart and lung sounds. And I didn't really know what I was listening to as a pre-med student. So I was learning how to give injections, started IVs, and I loved being able to work with my hands and actually see a variety of people. And so that's where my passion for emergency medicine started. So a few days after me going into accident and casualty, I went to the internet cafe, which I'm pretty sure they don't have any of these anymore. And I started Googling, like, what is accident and casualty in the United States? And up popped emergency medicine. And I knew from that point on, I wanted to be an ER doctor. So that being said, emergency medicine residency is structured kind of like how an experience in an ER would be, meaning we have a pretty broad base of training. We make sure we have OBGYN rotations, we have peds rotations, we also have trauma rotations, orthopedic surgery rotations. There's lots of ICU experience there. We also do anesthesia, so we can learn how to intubate, and we also do ultrasound. So there's a broad base of what we learned, from kind of the more routine things to also the taking care of critically ill patients as well. And that's what I love, the kind of unpredictability of what's going to happen when I walk into a shift, that I can take care of someone that's, you know, pretty routine, pretty in and out, simple, easy, to medically complex and critically ill and needs to be, you know, admitted to the ICU or maybe even transferred to another hospital. I love to stretch my capabilities as a physician.
Wow, that's amazing. And I believe you did talk a little bit more about this, actually a lot more about this in the book, Still MD. Can you just kind of talk to us now, more so focusing on requirements for IMGs to match into EM? What are those requirements? What would you say make up a solid application that would, you know, put an IMG's best foot forward when it comes to the match?
Absolutely. So anybody that wants to apply to emergency medicine, more specifically, if you're interested in emergency medicine, you 100% have to have what's called a SLO, which is a standard letter of evaluation. It is a type of letter of recommendation, but it's only used within emergency medicine residency programs to rate and to rank applicants that are going into emergency medicine. So those letters, those SLOEs, S-O-S-L-O-E's, are only given to you by emergency medicine residency programs when you rotate as a fourth year medical student. The tough thing for IMGs, however, is that a lot of emergency medicine residency programs are attached to universities that have some limiting factors for IMGs to rotate there. They only take students from US MD or DO schools. And so it can be difficult for an IMG to find programs that will allow them to rotate as an international student, thereby obtaining a SLO. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. Still every year, there continues to be Caribbean medical students that are matching into emergency medicine programs that have obtained those letters. And there's a small few group of programs that are out there that are welcome to you, but you just have to make sure that you have at least two of those rotations on your application when you're applying to make sure that you're competitive. Also, STEP scores are also extremely important. EM is becoming more and more competitive every year as other students from the US, both DO and MD programs, are becoming more interested in emergency medicine. So no spots go unfilled. So it's very hard to soap or to scramble into an emergency medicine program. So making sure that you have high STEP scores and no fails are very important to your application. And more specifically, step two is looked at a little bit more highly than step one. I didn't actually do that great on step one. I did average at best. And so, but I definitely tried to improve my step two score. And I got a lot of comments about that when I was interviewing for emergency medicine residency.
So you did mention, you know, having great scores and not failing the exam, basically. Can you tell us what is considered a great score? And the second tier to that question is, how do we prepare for these exams to the best of your knowledge so that we don't have to repeat them?
Absolutely. So programs are becoming more and more competitive. So I'm seeing students that are coming in and applying to EM programs with like 230s, 240s, sometimes 250s, 260s on step one and step two. That being said, if you don't have that, it's not impossible that you will get into a, or would not be able to get into an emergency medicine program. But it's important, like you said, to make sure that you're studying appropriately and hard and have being very strategic when you're walking into your steps. So what I did while I was studying for my USMLEs is I did a program that kind of incorporated all kinds of different learning capabilities. So I was writing, I was watching creative videos, I was listening to audio, definitely doing questions. So for step one, what I did was doctors in training. I also used USMLE World as a question bank. I used Goyan audio and also did Pathoma, which I absolutely love. I keep hearing students talk about Sketchy Micro. I think that's what it's called. I have no idea what that is. Yeah, I have no idea what that is, but everybody seems to love it. So if that works for you, I definitely think you should use it. Pathoma, it was absolutely clutch for me, especially for step one. A lot of the things that he covered were like almost verbatim on step one. So it's extremely high yield. So for step two, I did pretty well as well using kind of the same method. I used DIT again, so the doctors in training again, USMLE World, and I just stuck to a really, really tight study schedule. Beforehand, I would do some Kaplan videos while I was on rotation. So I would do the OBGYN videos for Kaplan while I was on my OB rotation. I do my internal medicine Kaplan videos while I was on my internal medicine rotation, et cetera. So I feel like I had a really good foundation when I walked into studying hardcore for step two, but then I just made sure I was very high yield going into the exam. I'd also say do this. Do not do what I did, which means do not ignore anything that you do not feel comfortable with. For example, I absolutely to this day cannot stand biochemistry, and I ignored it studying for it when I was studying for step one. And I did so well on every other section except for biochemistry. And I feel like if I had just taken the few extra days to like go over the super high yield stuff instead of continuing to read over the things I already knew over and over again, I know I would have gotten a better score. So that being said, please, 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 if you know you have a weak area, continue to work on it. Do not ignore it. It could cost you your score.
Wow, that's some great advice. And I think a lot of times, some people, especially when they start off, we're so focused as IMGs on just basic sciences, getting each month over with and kind of moving forward. But it's important to remember that everything that you learn in your basic sciences really adds up to how you perform in step one. And you can't study for step one, you just a 2 or 3 month period. It's a cumulative process that should start from day one of medical school, you know, taking that biochemistry class, you know, efficiently and participating in whatever shelf that comes with that. And, you know, any kind of extra amount of studying so that when it comes time for the steps, you know, these IMGs, myself included, you're not stunned by the test. And so that's some really great advice on studying and why these scores are important. Because a lot of times we hear about, oh, you need to get a 240 and over, but nobody really understands why. And it's the competition, it's the data, it's the current stats. So in order to be in tune with the current, your competition, which is your US graduates and even other IMGs, you probably want to stand out a lot better with a higher score. So thanks for touching on that. So let's talk about your books, okay? Because you've written two books now. The first one is It's an Emergency. I feel like it's to be said that way with some form of
it is
urgent anticipation in my voice. And then now this month, you have your second book collab with me. I'm so excited. And that's Still MD. So can you tell us about, you know, what was your motivation for writing StillMD?
Well, StillMD came to me, right when I met you. I think it was a couple of weeks after I met you. We met at a conference in Atlanta, and then we were back in Atlanta for another conference. And it just came to me while I was sitting in a session, like, oh my God, like, why haven't I shared this story? Like, this would be so great. And I'm like, well, who else is doing this other than, you know, Dr. Nina? So why wouldn't I collab with her? So I approached you and you were like, yeah, let's do this. This sounds awesome. And we kind of chatted a little bit and came up with some ideas. I originally had one way in mind that I thought we could do this book, but it ended up the way we're doing it now. And I'm super happy about what we've created together. But it was all about me realizing that I had finally accomplished a goal. And I took, for U.S. students, the non-traditional route to getting to medicine by going overseas to obtaining a medical degree. But I wanted to make sure that I shared that story so that other people who are IMGs or US IMGs that are coming behind me and behind you, Dr. Nina, would feel encouraged and feel like, wow, like I can do this. I can make it. I remember being on Ross's campus, and I was in the Ross Emergency Medicine Association. And sometimes they would have talks from attendings that were back stateside. And I would just look at them like, wow, I cannot wait until I'm that one that comes back and says, hey, I'm a Rossi. I did this too. You can do it. I'm here to like support you guys. And so I think StillMD is my personal way to giving back to others who, you know, may have tried to go to school stateside but didn't get in for whatever reason, or didn't want to go to school stateside for whatever reason, to make sure that they know that there are plenty of other doctors out there that are blazing the trail for them. And we want to leave the door open for them to succeed as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, StillMD can be found, guys, stillmd.com. That's STILLMD.com. You can pre-order. By the time this podcast is actually published, you may just be able to go ahead and order a copy. We're so excited to share this project with you. Dr. Brown, can you give us some idea as to StillMD, the timeline, what we should be looking out for this month with what we've got going on?
So we are in the pre-launch mode. So like you said, if you want to pre-order, you can do it right this minute. And so you can go to the website that Dr. Nina just dropped for you guys. But then we have our live launch that is going to be Friday, January 24th on Instagram Live. So Dr. Nina and I are going to meet together. I'm actually going to see her in Kentucky. I've never been to this part of Kentucky before, so I'm really excited to meet up with her. But we're going to be launching it live. And we also have a giveaway on our live launch, which we have not announced as of this recording, but we will announce it soon, that we have this really great giveaway coming up. We also have a lot of other fun things. We've got some apparel that's coming for you guys and some other secrets that we cannot wait to share just yet. But we really want to make this a movement. You know, StillMD stands for Still Medical Doctor. And sometimes as IMGs, we feel like we may be less than or perceived as less than because we don't go to a, quote, U.S. medical school for whatever reason or whatever circumstance in our lives. But at the end of the day, we're still medical doctors. We're still serving, you know, our populations. We're still helping people to get healthy and live better lives. And so we should hold our heads up high and make sure that we know that we are just as worthy as anyone else that has gone to medical school and also down the white coat. So we are starting a movement. We are so, so, so excited about it. It's like every day, Dr. Nina, you and I come up with some other idea of how we can, you know, encourage and support. Literally every day, we're like sending a message to each other like, oh, what about this? What about this? So I'm excited. I think StillMD is going to be huge for 2020 and going on in the future.
Right. I totally agree. So guys, that's Friday, January 24th, 2020 at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. or 11 a.m. Central Time. You can meet us on Instagram. So this is your cue to follow me, Dr. Nina Loom on Instagram. And you can be well informed as to what to expect, when, and how to get your copy. So before we let Dr. Brown get off the call with us today, can you please tell us where to find you on the internet? Because people are going to want to get in contact with you. They're going to want to ask you questions about emergency medicine training as IMG. So where do we find you?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up. I am really passionate about seeing more IMGs become emergency physicians. So I've got some really great stuff coming up for you guys in the next couple of months. But in the meantime, you can find me on my website. It's www.drkimberlyb.com. You can also find me on Instagram at Dr. Kimberly B. You can also find me on Facebook, which I talk to a slightly different audience on Facebook, but I'm still on Facebook as at Dr. Kimberly B as well. So I am happy to chat with you guys anywhere you find me.
Awesome. Can you give us a last word of encouragement or empowerment for an IMG before you leave us today? What's your final word for every IMG out there that's listening and has doubts about their process and just needs to hold on to something from you?
You are worth it. It is worth it. And at the end of the day, you're still an MD.
Awesome. Still an MD, guys. So that's the message we're sending out to you today and forevermore. Work hard, pursue your dreams, and it is possible. Thank you for joining us today on the IMG Roadmap podcast. Check out imgroadmap.com for more information as to how to be waitlisted for our next online course session that will launch this spring. Thank you, guys.